When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're back for part two of the discussion of the safeties, that the top 10 countdown on this year's draft. And joining me again is Kevin Ostreicher. Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. Yeah, we're plugging away at the safeties here. Again, not Baltimore's biggest need, but one that they should definitely look at in this class.
So let's drop down through who we had 10 through 7 to start with. So go ahead and name your 10 through 7 guys.
Yeah, so my first one, Dejrion Taylor-Demerson out of Texas Tech. My number 9, Kalen Bullock from USC. And then you go to number 8 was Tyke Smith out of Georgia. 7 was Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest.
Okay, and Mustafa was our only overlap. Well, no, actually, I had guys higher, but my 10 guy was Cole Bishop of Utah, 9, Sione Vaque of Utah, and number 8, Malik Mustafa of Wake Forest, who you had at 7. So we continue on with this. With my number 7 pick, who is Ketan Oladapo of Oregon State. Exciting player there, I think, who one who does not get the kind of recognition nationally and in the rankings of safeties. I don't see him as often mentioned with players, but 6'2", 216, 32 3/8-inch arms, and a 4.58 40. That is just about ideal in terms of a size, length, speed combination at safety. He'll be 24 in October, so he's a little bit older than some of the other safeties. 11 missed tackles this last year, 5.9 yards per target. That's excellent. Remember, I have these statistics for each player for comparison purposes. There's one guy, in fact, who had to be eliminated from my top 10 list because his yards per target were just insane. So I cannot place him on the list at that point. But 61.3 opposition passer rating. Oladapo's been primarily a strong safety to date, but he has had some time at free safety, and I think he'd be a very natural dime given his size. So we see how much the hulking size of Hamilton, and you can't compare Hamilton and say, you know, any other player can do the other things anticipatorily that Hamilton does. But if you want a dime who's long and really understands reading the quarterback and whatnot, he can shave those windows by a little bit by just being long and being big in terms of forcing those up and down throws to run into a fingernail or a finger. So those are nice things. Zone coverage skills he's already had in use at Oregon State. So in some ways, and occasionally with safeties, you have to worry about a guy being able to move up and play dime back, because he's never really done it before, or he hasn't had a lot of underneath zone experience because he's too valuable on the back end. It's kind of the same thing with Sam pass rushers I always talk about, is they never really get a lot of coverage snaps in college because they're too important as pass rushers. So you don't get to look at them, and you have to look at more traitsy stuff. But Oladapo, plenty of experience at Oregon State playing underneath a zone role there. 22 passes defense the last 3 seasons combined, so that's good. Really good second man at the ball skills. 4 forced fumbles per PFF. 2 official, by the way. So PFF's credited with some additional stuff. That's great. And 1 fumble recovery. I think he has an interesting set of potential roles for the Ravens. I think the most natural is going to be dime. The second would be as an early down split field safety. That one will be a little bit less natural for him at the NFL level. There's going to be learning. He won't immediately jump in and be obviously good at that. I think one of the things to look at and just judge how difficult can it be for a split field safety to learn the position at the NFL level. Look at Darrell Worley in the first preseason game last year. Darrell Worley won that game for the Ravens. It was their last of the streak of consecutive wins before they lost the game to Washington. But it was just unfair to have him on the field in the second half. The quarterback, you know, he knew everything the quarterback was doing. He read the quarterback like an open book, basically. And, you know, just safeties with experience in the league. And Worley, that was pretty much his first game playing safety at the NFL level. That's maybe not completely true. I might have played a little bit as a rookie, but basically hadn't played safety before. Really knew exactly what he's doing. And Oladapo will have to learn that at the NFL level against big-time arms, where in the Pac-12, there's some lesser arms, you know, going against him, even though it's a Power 5 conference. So interesting set of roles. I think he'd be an interesting pick for me. Again, a value pick between rounds 5 and 6, very, very similar to Mustafa, who I have immediately behind him.
Yeah, and I had him at 11, so right off of my list. A lot of it had to do with the age again, like I talked about with my number 10 pick. But I think that he's super adaptable, and that's one of the things I like, where he's almost like that Swiss Army knife type of player where he can cover slot guys, he can cover tight ends, and it's really important to have that versatility in today's NFL. Now, the open field tackling has been a bit of a concern, where I just think his form could need improvement and can be improved at the NFL level, but he's sticky in coverage, and also he can walk down and play in the nickel or the slot if they would potentially need him to. So I think a Swiss Army knife type of player is really good for what the Ravens need right now. He also, I think, with the run support is fine for me, where you can have that ability to not only be a player that can do one thing, but multiple roles is really important. So I like him a lot. I think 5th, 6th round is where I'd take him as well, and wouldn't be mad if the Ravens were to add him to their team here in their secondary.
All right. So Oladapo was my number 7 guy. Were your number 6 guy?
Mine was Cole Bishop.
Okay. And mine was Kalen Bullock. So we're down to your number 5 guy.
My number 5.
The second show goes a lot faster.
We're overlapping at this point. Bo Braid was my number 5 guy here out of Maryland. So player that to me, I think he's 6 foot, 203 pounds. And 2022 was the first time that he was the full-time starter over there. And I think he really passed that test, had 85 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and I'll read off all that type of stuff. But then in 2023, the physicality that he has, he was productive. He has that production as well. But I think he's mobile. He's explosive. He's also very high energy, which I like. I think that he can be someone who is almost like a multifaceted player at the NFL level. And obviously the Terps have had some NFL talent from their secondary enter the draft recently. Obviously guys like Tay Banks and Corian Bennett, et cetera, Nick Cross as well. So I think another player from the Maryland pipeline that could become what is hopefully a very good quality NFL defensive bet.
He's a guy I really wanted to have higher on my list. Now he ended up, I've got 3 categories. I've got the top 10, I've got 2 honorable mentions, and then I've got my nose. And unfortunately, he's one of my 2 nose, meaning he's got to drop a lot for me to think that he could be a value pick. Turns 22 in January. Let's start with some of the good things. That's fantastic. 4.68 at his pro day. So obviously the 40 time is not his friend. He's got the right size, I think, otherwise. So that's, but just being a below average athlete in general is not a good thing. The other thing is, despite the size and despite some of the, you know, the hard hitting you really see if you watch some of those Maryland games, though he just takes out opponents, he missed 18 tackles this last year. That's 18.8%. It's way too high. Did have a pretty good yards per target, but didn't have a good opposition passer rating at 91.2. So he's hit and miss in coverage. You can't really be both hit and miss in coverage and hit and miss as a tackler. I think his usage in the NFL is going to honestly be somewhat limited. I think he's pretty much a dime back. So I would love for the Ravens to get him as a UDFA, maybe as a 7. I think that would be fine. I wouldn't really be happy if they used a 6th-round pick on him. I think that honestly is a little bit of a stretch, and that really probably means somebody else gets him. And I'm just sorry to say that, but that's my view. I think he's a dime back in the pros and a special teams player. But, you know, again, the Ravens have an unbelievable record of drafting guys with specific traits they like and turning them into good safeties. DaCosta, I think, is part of the entire package of front office people, along with Savage and Newsom, who did this over the years. So to me, Bo Brady is going to be on other people's safety lists because of the lack of depth of the class. Somebody's going to take him by about the fourth or fifth round, probably. And if that happens, the Ravens just got to say, well, okay, we can find our guy elsewhere. And the fact that he's primarily a dime back and not a dime back and something else, like a dime back with the possibility of being a split field safety, like the last guy we talked about, Oladapo, then I think that's just too much of a limiting factor. I'd rather take the Ravens, take a chance on an undrafted guy. Jeremy Lucien last year, I thought was an excellent chance, maybe a real smart guy, maybe a guy who otherwise could work out. But to me, I Braid is just a no to me. I think somebody else, primary reason is somebody else will draft him too early relative to the Ravens.
I had him 6-7. So, I mean, maybe like, you know, they have those 3-200 picks, but I think he'll be gone far before then. I think another team will try to get him maybe in the like early-ish day three, middle of day three, which I feel like to me, I like the potential that he has, but I didn't have him higher. The missed tackles were one that, you know, it's something that the Ravens dealt with for years, and that's something I wasn't a fan of. I know, Ken, you weren't a fan of, and nobody was a fan of, so I wish I could have him higher, but it was interesting to kind of go through his tape a little, because the production is there, but the 40 time also was something that, you know, it was not among the top of the class.
And he was your number six guy or five guy? Five. Okay. Yeah. So my five guy is Tyke Smith, who we've already talked about, the Georgia guy I see going in about round four. So we come to your number four guy. I don't know if we've already talked about him or not.
No, my number four guy, Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. So to me, he's an attacking box safety. If you need a box safety, I think this is probably one of your best, if not your best bet here. He's a guy at 6'2", 211, around that range, and someone that I feel like, you know, in space, he's not necessarily the most fluid, especially at intermediate and sometimes even in the deep passing game, but he's able to crash downhill a lot, attack especially in those open rushing lanes, and to me, the run support allows him, it's almost like it's not Kyle Hamilton-esque per se, but like he breaks up these plays with his physical nature. Now, to me, I think that based off of need, again, if you want the box safety type player, someone who can go down, Hicks is a guy I really, really like, but I'm not putting him in that single high and doing anything with him there.
All right, fair enough. So he is, I think he's my number three guy, but let me just check here real quickly. Yeah, Hicks is my number three guy. You mentioned the physicality and the athletic profile, which I think is good. The 6'8" 3 cone, by the way, it's a lost test now for defensive backs in general. Corners don't want to show off their three cone speed because they think, you know, they'll lose change of direction points for it if they show up at 7 seconds. They don't want to take that chance, and it ends up being now it's edge rushers as much as anyone do the three cone, and some of them are just freakishly outstanding, like is it Hutchinson, the Detroit guy, Aiden Hutchinson? Yeah. And he can, you know, with slot corner, like three cone speed, but anyway, at 6'8", that's a good number for Hicks for change of direction. Did not have a good missed tackle year at 14.7%, 14 missed tackles. 5.5 yards per target, though, is good. And a 73.3 opposition passer rating is just fine. I think he probably is a guy who could adapt to the back end split. Definitely not a single high guy. So, you know, it comes down to what can the Ravens teach the guy to do? I had him as high as number three because I think he's a reasonable risk, including the combination of speed, size, and change of direction that I think he could work as a back end guy. His instincts and reads are generally thought to be pretty good. Now, one of the things that's often stated about him, and honestly, I didn't see this on tape. I watched a cut-up versus Arizona where there wasn't really such a play involved. But what they talk about is how he would work well with rotational coverages, that he understands route concepts, could be a robber, or could come down. Well, that's what the Ravens do. I mean, that's a lot of what they do is figure out how to show you too high to start and then run that as matchup zone or run that with somebody coming down to make a play on the football. So I think Hicks could do that. Caught up versus Arizona is not very good for him. He had trouble getting off a block from the tight end. McClanahan is on a lot of people's tight end or honorable mention list for tight ends, because again, that's a pretty thin class too. He had a missed tackle on a wide receiver screen right. He had trouble negotiating traffic on another wide receiver screen. And then he topped it off by having a really bad vertical pursuit play where it almost looked like he gave up on the play. And that's not what I want to see. The running back, number 21, he was chasing, and he kind of pulled a, Earl Thomas on him in terms of kind of pulling up on the play. Now, it wasn't Earl Thomas pulled up at about the 50. Jaden Hicks pulled up about the 20, which is a little better, but it wasn't, it's not what I want to see anyway, is that kind of a thing. I think he meets the Ravens' needs, but he's probably gone by number 93. The Ravens absolutely would not use 62 on him. I don't really think they'll use 93 on him because they'll have other needs, but 93 is a potential for a non-high needs if they are able to trade back earlier than that. I think we mentioned that for one other player. And Hicks would be one of the guys, and I think he might be the guy that I'd be most likely and most okay with the Ravens getting at number 93 if that were the case. Anyway, my number three guy overall.
Yeah, I have him in the third round, so it would check out, and I wouldn't be mad at it. I think with the way the Ravens' other needs have kind of shaked out this offseason, with offensive line obviously being massive, corner, edge, wide receiver, I think there would be some backlash potentially to the Ravens taking a safety that high, but I don't necessarily view it that way, especially if the board falls a certain way, because the Ravens have been a BPA team, and it's not even necessarily a pure BPA pick, because they do still need a safety, well, multiple safeties, as we've talked about.
You know, it's one of the interesting, maybe we bring this up just again for a second, is the Ravens offseason at safety is one of the oddest things, because they haven't signed a lot of players, obviously, from other organizations, and I don't expect them to, but they have to have a plan at safety. They have to. Yeah. So if they're looking at Worley, it may be a case of, we just need to make sure the injury or the rehab is going okay before we sign you, kind of thing. If they're looking at the draft, they may have two undrafted guys they absolutely love, and we just don't know what it is, and they're going to bring them in, and they're going to be a big deal. And you know, that kind of checks out. They have not yet, and this has been real interesting, but he's a player who's been on the show a couple times now, and Jeremy Lucien, they have not yet re-signed him. And he's still out there as far as I know. As far as I know, he hasn't signed with anybody else yet. But he's a guy I'm just really surprised. You're very short on safeties. You have a guy who you know, was generally praised by the coaching staff when he was in the building. Very smart guy who apparently picked up the defense very quickly. And you don't sign him to your 90 when you need this many safeties. I mean, the Ravens have got to have something up their sleeves. It's just nothing else would make sense. He's a young guy too. So, you know, you got to figure they love a couple of UDFA guys, or they have a guy they're targeting in this draft, maybe in round six, but to say, okay, well, this is a small school guy, maybe round seven even. We'll get him. That'll fill the need on the body we're actually going to have on the field this year. And then we can build our practice squad around that. I don't believe that they could possibly be thinking, we'll just figure it out later with the two safeties on the roster. It's just too much that can go wrong with not having other spots filled. And in particular, that split field role is hard to fill with the right guy. It's much easier to find a strong safety or a pure downhill guy, a dime back. But that split safety role, much harder to fill.
And as we talked about as well, you can't rely on the health of Marcus Williams 100% anymore. I mean, again, was healthy in New Orleans, but we've kind of seen him miss all that time. And yeah, I can't believe that, you know, Baltimore go into the season with, okay, we're just going to kind of throw something together late, and that's going to be that. I mean, I think the draft is a prime opportunity to find someone who fits what needs we've been talking about and the skill set that we've been talking about. Whereas you can go out there and sign a veteran. I wouldn't be shocked if they maybe drafted a guy and signed a veteran, you know, whether that's bringing back Worley or, you know, going out onto the market. But again, it's important, but all of the talk right now, and you know, Ken, is it's on the offensive line. Everybody's talking about offensive line right now. And in the secondary, everybody's focused on corner. But safety is also really important, because you can't have two of them and go into the year and be okay. We're just going to, this undrafted guy is going to work. And then this there has to be something that's going on. I agree with you.
Okay, so Hicks was my number three, but he was your number four. My number four was Dadrian Taylor Demerson, so we're covered on that. So we're down to your number three, and I have a feeling we're going to have a difference here.
I think we do. Number three, Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. So for me, talking about ball hawks, and obviously we know about a Miami ball hawk who had a very productive career with the Ravens and Mr. Ed Reed, but Cameron Kitchens is someone, six interceptions in 2022, five more of those in 2023. Center fielder-wise, I think he is a very high-level center fielder. Now, some of the things when watching just a bunch of what he did, there are some lapses in zone with some zone awareness with him. Run support angles also can be he takes some unfavorable ones at times. But when you talk about upside, I think he does have it. He's 5'11", 203. The frame, I think, is fine when he's roaming in the box. But to me, you're looking at, for me at least, what Baltimore's needs are. And I think he could maybe slot into that Geno Stone role. But again, I'm curious to hear what you have to think about him, because I think as we talked about before we sit record here, there is a bit of a difference in our rankings.
Yeah, so I really wanted to like him more because the safety group is obviously very thin. He's one of two no's on my list. So I'll get to the reasons in just a second, because he had a year that seems like it's way out of place. And then I look at it, and 2022 is an awful lot like it. But, you know, to start with the fact that he's an average athlete with outstanding ball skills and certainly the reputation for that at the least. But the interception total speaks for itself. He had five interceptions in six, so 11 in 2 years makes him one of the best ball hawks at any position in this class, corner or safety. So that's wonderful. And you know you can get by with less in the way of speed and more in the way of instincts. We've got that from Hamilton right now in terms of a safety. You could certainly have a terrific impact on the field in terms of range with being a lesser pure speed athlete. But here's the real problem with me. He's got these free safety skills, but it gets beat way too often, as is evidenced by one of the very worst yards per target numbers I've ever seen in a draftable safety. And that's 13.9 yards per target this last year. There aren't any receivers in this class. Okay, there's about two receivers in this class who are 13.9 yards per target. One of them is Brian Thomas, who had the greatest deep ball year in NCAA history this last year for LSU. And, it's just too much for me. At 10 missed tackles, missed tackles not the issue. He's right on par with a lot of other safeties at 13.7%. His 13.9 yards per target is 10.0 career. I believe it was 10.0 in 22 as well. So this has been an ongoing problem with him. He's a big-time gambler. You can really see that, by the way. Even when you look at his interceptions, you can see there's a gambler there. Here's the problem. Nobody can put together a tape, and I didn't have the time to go to individual games and try and find the individual plays and whatnot, even if all the film were out there. But I probably could have done it with about 2 hours worth of research. I just didn't feel like it was worth it. The big plays are spread over all his games. He's got all these games where he gave up 4 for 40, 2 for 37, 2 for 43, 4 for 112. You know, it's all of these individual games where he gave up huge amounts of big plays, and it's unrelenting. And yeah, the interceptions are split in there, but it's not good. Now here's the other big statistic. 28 of 34 balls thrown his way were complete. Now, he had five interceptions. What does that mean? Now, I will say that PFF sometimes awards an interception on a target that is not for that player. So the ball might have been tipped or overthrown, and there's an underneath guy responsible for it. So it's not a simple one-for-one replacement that those six only include five interceptions and one of the pass. But it's pretty close to that. And it's a kind of case where, you know, he obviously is gambling a lot. Some of it worked out and some of it didn't. And honestly, in 2023 in particular, way too much of it didn't. I don't see anybody else talking about it. I don't see anybody else mentioning it anywhere. This ridiculous yards per target number. And I'll tell you, the player who was in this group last year for me was Caillou Kelly. Terrible YPT number, terrible year in his final year at Stanford. And I just had no clue why the Ravens would draft this guy in the fifth round. And honestly, Kelly's number was a lot better.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So he was around 8 yards per target, and you know, Kitchens at 13.9 is otherworldly. I mean, I have not seen one that bad in so long. So to me, he's a no for the Ravens. And somebody else, even if I said I'd be okay if they wanted to fix him and draft him in the fifth or sixth round, I mean, he'll be long gone by then. So he's somebody else's problem at this point for the Ravens. He's not on my list. I wouldn't take him. By the way, passer rating against him, he had 5 interceptions. So you know, he pretty much maxed out that 1/4 contribution to opposition passer rating last year. Because he intercepted 5 of the 34 balls he was targeted on, but he still had 118.4 opposition passer rating. That means they basically got a perfect score in the other three categories, which are completion percentage, yards per reception, and touchdowns per pass. So it was not a good season for him. And I'm a no. That is enough for me to do it. If I had seen something like it was 2 big plays or something, I mean, it's like 500 yards or something he gave up in total. I mean, it's not a small number. So it was really spread out over all the games. So if someone can explain to me why that's not his fault, maybe because the defense always put him in a crappy position, please go ahead and do that. I'd love to hear this as it, but again, you look down, it's not one game, it's every freaking game. He's got problems giving up big plays.
Well, and I think I was going to say, I think it might've been different for you too, if maybe it was like just 2 or 3 games that happened in that case, instead of, like you said, it was almost every single game. So I think it makes sense. Also, again, the 40 time, he didn't test very well. I think that has hurt his stock over the course. You know, his offseason, his testing numbers have not been great, but I mean, he's a guy that I expect to go around day two. I mean, I think he's going to be a day two guy. And I mean, if it's 93 for the Ravens, I'd personally be okay with that. I know, Ken, you'd probably be throwing fits.
I'll be very loud if that happens. Yeah. Look for Twitter to look for my account to explode.
That might be a viral tweet in your future if that were to happen. But I think that he's someone, the ball hawking is there, but again, you can't ignore the negatives as well. And I do understand where you're coming from with him.
All right, so my number three guy was Jaden Hicks, who we already went over, so we're down to number two. And number one, I'd be shocked if these aren't the same two guys, maybe in the same order. Who's your number two guy?
Well, I hope we both have this guy, and it's not Cooper as a is a safety, but Javon Bullard out of Georgia is my number two guy. Someone who is an incredible safety and also has incredible slot cornerback capabilities. Versatility is the name of the game here for Javon Bullard. Someone who is physicality. Well, the physicality he has is also incredible, but his coverage is just, I mean, you watch the film, you watch the highlights, you watch the tape. I mean, it is otherworldly what he can do. He's a little bit on the lighter side, but he's a fast player. I like his foot speed. He's savvy with his technique, too. I really like the technique he displays. Plus, he's a fluid overall athlete. So, to me, would not be mad if the Ravens were to take him. We know the Ravens love their versatility. This would probably be a high pick investment, but I still like a lot of what Bullard brings to the table.
Yeah, I think you don't get him at number 93. He is my number two guy also, by the way. People will, if did the cornerback show with Coach Derek just recently, all 22 films, and his name came up because he's on the slot corner list as well for a lot of people, and he did not value enough. It's kind of like where does the player have the highest value? Obviously for Bullard, that's safety. He's the number two guy there. Really good option as a free safety slash split safety, which is why I love him for the Ravens. 7 PDs on 26 targets this last year. Missed tackle rate is okay at 10.8%. So it's not a place where size is really impacting him too much there. Playing obviously in a high quality league in the SEC and having missed tackle rate like that is nothing to sneeze at. 4.6 yards per target is fantastic, obviously, and 34 for an opposition passer rating. That's better than every pass incomplete. So that's a function of 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. The big stat for me, which holds up well but isn't really an ideal one for a safety, is his ratio of stops to missed tackles, which is 43-12 in his career. That's the new strikeout to walk ratio for inside linebackers, as far as I'm concerned. I want to see a number there that's good. And there's a tremendous variation in the guys this year. It's one of the reasons I really like Peyton Wilson, whose ratio was over 11-1, just ridiculously this last year, of defensive wins where he put the guy on the ground versus missed tackles. So with a safety who plays slot, he's going to have more opportunities to come up and make tackles for loss and make tackles where they are not defensive wins by that football outsider's definition. So he's got some of that built into what he's got. They're not, you know, he doesn't have free safety, split safety kind of disadvantages in terms of most of the passes he gives up are going to be for 8 or 10 yards where he doesn't have a stop generated in most cases. But anyway, fine player. Would love if the Ravens had him at 93. Not happy any sooner than that.
Yep, I agree with you. 93 is the sweet spot for me. And speaking of, because I know Bullard in the slot conversation, Ken, I feel like, you know, a lot of people at the corner room, they need a corner. They do. And I feel like that's a need for them. But their slot corner room right now, not that Bullard wouldn't be a great addition to it, if he's going to play safety, hopefully, in the Ravens defense. But they have a lot of slot guys right now that quality players. Arthur Millett, they bring back. Or Darius Washington is someone. And then even Pepe Williams, who, again, the potential is there. We haven't really seen a lot of him over the course of his career, but they have three like decent options at slot right now. So again, if you draft a Bullard, I think the easy place for him to play, I mean, I have him as a safety anyway, and anywhere he goes, just as the primary position, but their slot corner position right now, just to get a tad off topic, they're pretty set there right now.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the at corner, and we talked about this on the cornerback countdown very much, was what they need is aircraft carriers. The Ravens love their height and weight and length outside, and they've got good guys there at two spots in Stevens and Humphrey, but they really need a significant number of backups there. The backups they have, I don't trust what they have to start with. It's, you know, put Trayvon Mullins and who's the other guy? I'm forgetting. The Kadar Holman, who they signed recently. It's really interesting. Kadar Holman basically is a perfect comp for Quinyon coming out this year out of Toledo. They both played at Toledo for starters. So that's what really tipped you. They both are almost identical 40 times. It's a little difference, 433 and 439 for Kadar Holman. Kadar Holman's playing on his 10th stint for his 8th team with the Ravens coming this year. And, you know, it does not give you a lot of, instill confidence that a player like Quinion is necessarily going to be able to make that jump in competition and be good. But anyway, I digress.
Right. Yeah. I don't think the Ravens are going to be in that range anyway for him. I think he goes before the Ravens pick, but I did not know that. Interesting. That's a fun fact. I didn't know that.
So my number two guys is John Blewood. So we talked about the number one guy. Start us off.
Yes. Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. This one was a pretty easy one for me. It was actually the all-time school leader for interceptions in a career. So credit to him. He had 5 last year. And for him, it's not even about generating turnovers. He has size. He has length. He's 6'2", 205. Super explosive and physical as well. Really good in terms of taking angles. The instincts are off of the charts when you watch him play. And to me, I think that's instincts. To me, some people underrate them. The NFL is a super fast-paced league. The game speed from college to the NFL, it's a world of difference. And to have natural fast instincts is something that can get you really far really quickly. And Tyler Newbin definitely has that. Now, he's not the fastest safety in this class. You know, the range isn't the rangiest in this class. But I think for him, you talk about the physical aspects, you talk about his instincts. The traits are there for him to be a high-quality starter in this league. And I'd be ecstatic if Baltimore to land him. Obviously, it'd be another high draft pick investment. But who knows how this draft board falls.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either, obviously. Getting back to the instincts thing, at safety in particular, it's probably the place on the field where instincts are more important than speed, because you often have that driver's ed kind of time to trigger on a route. You're often the window closer deep, which is important. You're often coming downhill to make a tackle between level 2 and level 3. You have to make a decision on whether to play the overthrow or play the man directly at that point. Just a lot of decisions that are made that have the time necessary for the quarterback to look, read, and throw. And you've got some time to react there. And if you make the right decisions, you make billions of dollars. If you make the wrong decisions on a consistent basis or on too often a basis, then you don't. And you can get by with exactly what Tyler Newbin has in terms of speed. He's got a 460 measurement of some sort, but it's got the dreaded other on him. So I use NFL Draft Buzz because they collect from multiple sources to get this thing. I have no idea where that timing was taken. But if in terms of levels removed, I'd say a combine measurement, I trust how it's done. A pro day measurement, immediately jaundiced eye, I think it might not be correct, and it's probably almost always low. And then the third one is other. I have no idea in that case. It's a double asterisk on my sheet here when I'm going through these in terms of that. To go over Newbin's though, production stats from this last year, he had 6 missed tackles, so 9.4%. That's a fine tackler. 4.5 yards per target allowed, and a 39.6 opposing passer rating. That would be effectively equal to every pass incomplete, 39.6. So 5 interceptions obviously played a role in that. He did allow 2 touchdowns too, so he wasn't perfect in that category. But outstanding career at Minnesota. And his career, by the way, okay, let's go to the last 3 years. I think he's played 5, if I recall correctly, because he's 23 in June. But the last 3 years, the opponents have only completed 21 of 66 balls thrown his way. Compare that to Kitchens, for example, and 5.7 yards per target. And his career opposition passer rating is only 37.6. So it's below that Mendoza line of all passes incomplete. So hell of a player. And he because he is the premium safety in this draft, and there's a couple of guys who kind of fit into the – they have instincts, but they maybe have 1 or 2 other warts. And Newbin, to me, doesn't really have any he's going to draw an immense premium. It would not shock me if he went in round 1 based on there being probably half a dozen teams that need a free safety. There always are. And somebody feeling like there's just such a drop off in this draft. We're better off going safety 1, backup guard 2 than the other way around, but, you know, in how they look at it, or developmental guard 2, I should say.
Yeah. I have him very early day 2. you know, 30s, 40s. Like, I think a team is going to take him there. And I think a lot of people with this safety class, again, it is not the best safety class I've ever seen. It is definitely one of the weaker ones. But there, I think there's a common misconception of, oh, there's not going to be a safety taken until like round three. That to me is running back. That class is running back, where it's a very weak class. I wouldn't even be shocked if a guy didn't get taken until day three. Like that's maybe how weak it is for a lot of people. Wow. Maybe like third round. Maybe it's the third round. But still, this safety class, like you talk about the Newbins and the Bullards, and even, you know, you can throw Hicks, or if you're a Kitchens fan, you can throw him in that conversation too. But there are going to be probably four safeties taken on day two. And to me, I think they're all talented players. Now, the question is, where does Baltimore value, one, the players, because we know they're a BPA team, but two, the need itself, because I think it's a combination that obviously makes the Ravens drafts work the way they do.
Right. So, you know, in looking forward to this, and Kevin, I know you're joining us for at least one of the draft nights, so hopefully draft day on day three, where the Ravens have six picks. Now, that's going to be a lot of fun, by the way. You do not, folks out there, it's a great opportunity. I won't say you don't want to miss it, but it's a great opportunity to watch the draft with a semi-relaxed atmosphere. Obviously, everybody cares about what's going on, approaches it from a very Ravens-centric atmosphere. But if you're at working at your computer, if you're at work because you have to work on a Saturday for some reason, go ahead and you have my permission to turn on your live stream of the draft that day and listen to our panelists talk about what's going on and how we hope the board plays out. On round one, this will be one of the big Newbin will actually be one of the big players before the Ravens get to 30. If he's drafted, it could greatly enhance the pool of talent. Ravens need a couple of things to drop their way to get like a really good left tackle prospect. And one of them is for the tackles to go to the teams that actually need tackles, as opposed to someone who thinks that's too good value, we can't pass that up. If something like that happens, it's a disaster. If a tackle goes to a non-tackle needy team, would be very bad. But the other thing is you want some of these other premium players at positions where it's not deep. And you might get that. You probably won't get a tight end, but you can get it. I mean, Bowers will go, but the number two tight end, Saunders, is probably not going to go that early. You really want to see Byron Murphy go super early in this draft. You want to see Johnny Newton go before 30. You want to see probably some of the wide receivers go before 30, just so the Ravens get their tackle. But it's going to be anyway. It's a very fun night, and it ends up being a big parking lot puzzle to see what players still might be available there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when you talk about also the even like, you know, some of the edge rushers, right? Like obviously the Ravens aren't in Dallas Turner range anyway. And those three guys there, and depending on where Chop Robinson goes, obviously, I think that's the one like potential realistic option that could fall to Baltimore. I don't necessarily expect him to, but even when you talk about, you mentioned the wide receivers, the two big corners are probably going to go, but then you just hope for maybe a team loves Michael Penix and they trade ahead of the Ravens to get him. Now, obviously a lot of people or maybe putting the best together, obviously like with Baltimore, what they did with Lamar Jackson in 2018, and they moved up. Maybe does Baltimore take a trade down if a team loves Michael Penix enough to trade up to 30, get the fifth-year option, and Baltimore get some good draft capital out of it? But we've seen over the course of the last couple of years, there have been runs. I mean, that run on wide receiver to get the Ravens Kyle Hamilton in 2021, the Ravens don't get Kyle Hamilton if that run doesn't happen. So, for me, I think there are plenty of tackle needy teams in this class, but as you mentioned, Ken, that's where you want them to go. But there will be a lot of value, and I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe there's one of those guys that goes. And I've kind of circled for me. I know you love him too, Amarius Mims. Now there are some things with development and injuries and whatnot, but to me, I think this can be a class where Baltimore maybe sets the tone for the future here, because there are so many different needs they have after losing so many guys in free agency.
Right. I mean, Mims would be a dream if they were to get him. I think, you know, the guys that they're down to is one that I'm not that interested in Morgan. I don't know if he can really stick at left tackle. I'm also not interested in Barton, by the way, because I think he's definitely moving the interior. So
yeah,
if they traded down or got Barton at 62 somehow, and they won't last that long. But you know, if there's multiple places where I guess they could get Barton with their second pick of the draft, but you know, trying to solve your tackle issue with a guard tackle is like trying to solve your starting rotation by acquiring additional relievers. It's just, it does not work. So, you know, you really need somebody with pure left tackle traits. And there are a couple of guys, and Mims is one of them, who's played right tackle but projects to the left side, and Guyton is the other one. I'm sorry, Latham is the other one. Guyton's actually played. I always get those two confused. For
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Latham at Alabama is the one who's been on the right side. So I think there are options. It's just there's a lot of tripwires and a lot of puzzle pieces need to fall in place for the Ravens to get a really good left tackle and not really to be dropped down to a consolation prize left tackle at 30. And it's not unexpected because it's very hard to get the left tackle you want as late as that in any draft. It just happens to be an incredibly rich draft, and the Ravens might get lucky in that regard.
Yeah, good need for or good year to need an offensive lineman. Then we'll see some of the sneakier needs pop up later. Obviously, safety is one of them. Running back is another. And Eric DaCosta was vocal about their desire to add one of those, inside linebacker potentially. So there are some other needs. And even we know the Ravens love drafting defensive linemen too. I think, well, 1 year in the past, however many, they haven't taken a defensive lineman, or maybe it's two now. But wouldn't be shocked if maybe in the later rounds, if there's a value pick there, especially with Michael Pierce and Brent Urban not being long-term pieces, maybe they go there as well.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable prospect. I mean, Urban is already on the handshake crew in terms of being a guy who will be around. You effectively, under the new rules, you have some ability to stash. So they can get a guy and get him to IR if they need to, and potentially bring him back this season still. The Ravens have always been highly adept at managing the 54th through 57th player on the roster anyway, but they have additional rules in place. They're going to help all teams do it this year. But I mean, the one thing about that defensive line is those five guys played every single snap last year, and yet they're all obviously a year older. And Travis Jones is really the only guy on there who's young at this point. I'm not counting Broderick Washington in that group. So that means you really have to try and get younger at that position. Even if that guy probably is not going to play much in 2024.
Right. And we know that Madubuike is a long-term piece there with the contract, but Washington right now is not. I'm not classifying him in that collection because, you know, this is the second year of that three-year deal, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So well, does it kick in this year?
Yeah, it kicks in this year, I think.
Okay,
they can get rid of him after this year, but it ends up not being very much of a savings at all, is my recollection. And I could be wrong about that. Maybe I just ought to not.
Yeah, because, yeah, the rookie deal expired. So, yeah, this will be the first year it kicks in. I got that messed up. But even so, I think, and to me, defensive line is one where I think Michael Pierce might even retire after this year. This might be his last year in the league based off of previous comments. So
he signed for 2 years currently, right? The deal was for 2 years, I believe. Not the Washington, but the Pierce deal.
It was because he chopped off the last year of the deal and I think re-signed on that contract, right?
I think he re-signed for two, but I'm looking it up. Yeah, okay. He signed through 25 and then he's got void years going from 26 through 28. So I think the Ravens, you know,
okay, so probably two. So probably maybe at the end of that contract, but
yeah.
Urban to me is probably, I mean, he played some very quality snaps for them last year. I know we're far away from safety now, right. But it's right. To me, I think that again, it just speaks to how many guys they lost, how many needs they have to fill. But it's not just about the holes in the roster right now. They obviously have to be looking towards the future as well.
All right, Kevin, always appreciate talking football with you. Thanks for coming on the show. Tell folks what you're working on over at Locked On Ravens.
Yeah, we're 5 days a week, so Monday through Friday, and then we do some bonus episodes on the weekend sometimes as well. We're over on YouTube and in audio form, so both video and audio, covering the Ravens, so news, analysis, updates, the whole nine yards with that. You can also tune in. We're doing a bunch of draft stuff as well, and even during, again, the lull period in the off season when those come up, we're still covering Baltimore during that time, so Any piece of Ravens news, you can come on over to Locked On Ravens for that. And excited for the season, excited for the year. And based off of last offseason, I think we're going to get a lot more moves coming up down the pipeline, especially veteran ones, because we know, especially with the compensatory pick, that whole thing being gone. We've seen the Ravens agree to some handshake deals recently with some guys, Alejandro Villanueva, Rock Yassin being a couple off the top of my head. after the draft when it doesn't when that no longer affects the comp formula. So all those moves you can catch over on Locked On Ravens as well.
All right, very good. Appreciate it, Kevin. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I ask in the second part, and this is because I know you guys are the most loyal of listeners that you've been here all the way through this. If you don't mind, give us a 50-word review out on your favorite podcast channel, and that does a lot to help promote the pod. It's the loyal listeners like you and more who have supported this show for years in just the most wonderful manner that I really appreciate. And I've met some of you over the years. I want to meet more of you in terms of film study shorts. So if you want to be on an episode of that, talk about whatever you like. Hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Love to hear from you. Kevin, thanks again for coming on.
Always appreciate you, Ken. Thanks so much for having me.
And I'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.